Welcome to Corazon Technologies, home of the Digital Executive Podcast. Welcome to the Digital Executive Podcast. Today's guest is Mike Harbor. Mike Harbor is the founder and president of a leadership consulting, training, and talent management firm based in Little Rock, Arkansas. Mike Harbor provides inspirational speaking, leadership and executive coaching, leadership and communication strengths assessment, leadership development, and training for new and emerging leaders, and the seasoned leadership professional, and also helping to build high-performance teams as well as internal recruitment practices. Mike has over 25 years of real-world experience in hospital operations, leadership training and development, sales, talent management, and executive search. He has interviewed thousands of leaders, successfully placed, coached, and trained hundreds of leaders, and spoke to thousands more to live and lead into their full potential as a leader. Mike's leadership was tested and honed while serving in the United States Army as a U.S. Army officer. Building on this experience and success, he has led in the corporate world and as an entrepreneur. Mike is a leader of leaders. He is also a leading founding partner and teaching faculty member on the world-renowned John C. Maxwell team of 25,000 plus members as a certified coach, trainer, and speaker. Mike is the chairperson for the annual John C. Maxwell Leadership Award and co-host of the Transformational Leader Podcast. He is a committed family man with over 27 years of marriage. He has been gifted with a son who is now playing golf in college and a daughter who is a freshman in high school. He has coached on the baseball field, led men at church, and is a leader in the community, offering men's equipping programs at local schools and community events. Good afternoon. Mike Harbor here. Glad to have you on the show.
Hey, Brian. I'm glad to be here too, man. Thanks for inviting me in.
Awesome. I'm glad you connected, and I'm glad we've done some conversation around leadership. But I got some questions for our readership here. Based on your bio, you made a career as being a leader and teaching others to lead. When did you realize your calling to help others?
Yeah, that's a great question, isn't it, Brian? I don't know. You know, I think early on in my life, I had no clue what leadership was. I thought I was a leader, right? I mean, I played baseball growing up. I played football. I actually played baseball through college. And then I ended up joining the military. I kind of thought I was a leader back then, but I was mostly just a bully. You know, I kind of screamed and yelled at people and thought that was leadership. But I've really been leading for a long time, Brian, in my teens and in early life. It was more about me, though, and what I could get out of it. And so I think I was probably 33, 34 years old, and that's after I left the Army. You know, I stayed in the Army until I was 34, 35 years old. But it was really after I left the Army that I realized I was placed here to serve others, which is kind of interesting, right? I mean, in the military, I was serving others, but I was really kind of serving the country. I was serving a mission. I was leading other people, but I didn't really see myself leading them from a place of serving them at that time. But I guess, you know, 33, 34 years old, I finally had kids. So my son was 4 years old when I was 34. My daughter was coming along, and it was at that time where I realized, man, I've got to get better as a leader. I want to be a better parent. I want to be a better father. I think it was really at that time where I realized that I'm here to help people, to use my background, my experience, all of the leadership I've had to really help others become more effective leaders and communicators. So, you know, Brian, it didn't happen early in life for me. I hate to say that. There's probably about 10 or 15 years of leadership that I wish I could have back and start over. But hopefully I'm doing better with that now later in life.
Thanks for sharing that. I think a lot of us, and myself included, you don't really understand that leadership aspect. You know, you may be a good leader, but are you doing it for the right reasons? So, I can totally relate. I think a lot of our readers can relate to that as well. I see you're very active in your business, Mike. You got traveling, social media, marketing, podcasts. I mean, you're on it constantly. Do you have any time for yourself?
Woo, what a question. So, maybe you should ask my family that, right? Yeah. For me, Brian, that is time for myself. You know, I'm a very disciplined, guy in regard to my calendar and managing my priorities and my schedule. You probably know that by now, just in our interactions over the last several months. You know, I'm about, let's schedule something. I don't want to kind of randomly do things. Everything, my life people think I'm crazy, Brian, when I show them my calendar, man, but I use Google Calendar and it's blocked off from 5 a.m. till maybe 9 o'clock at night. It's color coded. It's kind of, look, I'm a type A guy, man. And so I manage those priorities. But honestly, Brian, I love what I do. So most of my downtime is reading and studying and learning more about leadership and communication and teamwork so that I can help others and bring more value to the marketplace in what I'm doing. So, you know, when you say, do you get time for yourself? Yes, but I'm strategic with it. I use that time to, you know, a good vacation for me is maybe we go somewhere where my family can have fun and I can study or work or go to a conference, right? They don't necessarily like that, but my son's a golfer. So I do play a little bit of golf. He's a golfer. I play golf. There's a difference, Brian. I don't know if you've played golf, yeah. You know, I play golf. He's a golfer. So I go out and hit the ball and chase it around. And I love watching him play and he plays a lot of tournaments. He's in college playing golf right now. So that, you know, I do try to schedule my stuff around when I can go watch him play. I love to catch new movies. You know, I'm a big kind of war movie. I still hadn't seen the new movie 1917 yet, but I'm going to get out and do that. But I love, you know, movies, hero type movies. But, you know, self time for me, Brian, is really doing what I do. This is full time. I love what I do. You know, I worked all day yesterday. I had an all day event with a client just yesterday. And I'm exhausted when I get home because it takes a lot of energy to speak all day and train all day. But even last night, I come home, I eat, I kind of relax, I get on the couch, but I got a book in front of me. I'm reading, right? Even before I go to bed. So to me, what I do is not a job. It is fun. It is personal time for me, but I do schedule some vacations once in a while and I play a fair amount of golf when I can. You know, we're looking at scheduling something for spring break right now around my son's golf schedule. So he's got a golf tournament that week, but I hate to sound so boring, Brian, but self time for me is what I do every day, honestly.
Well, thank you for sharing. I know a lot of us have different schedules and that. I was curious to see and maybe even myself could learn from, you know, how you manage your calendar. So that's very good. I think a lot of us are type A as well. Mike,
yeah, I hate to interrupt you, but one of the things, you know, I do is I'm very goal oriented, but I have a tool called a daily compass tool, Brian. And actually, if you want to send people to my website, you can actually download a copy of that tool. And I've created a video teaching of how to use that tool. And it's a priority management tool, like a high achievers tool. I use it every single day. That's one way I manage my priorities, but you know, I'm looking at my goals, my schedule every Sunday, Brian, every Sunday. I've got an appointment on my schedule. So if I showed you a copy of my calendar every Sunday at 4 p.m. my time, that's my weekly planning time. So what I do is I look at the week ahead and I look at the month ahead. Every Sunday I do that. And so what I'm doing is I'm looking at what I've got to do for the week and where do I have flex time? You know, if I need to book a car, you know, flight or whatever for my travels, I do that. But I'm always looking a week ahead and a month ahead. So, because there's some things I need to do a month ahead for preparation wise. But that's one of the ways. I've got that daily compass tool that I use daily, but I've got my weekly Sunday kind of meeting with Mike Harbor to plan my week and my month. And that's just a great way to, instead of just walking into Monday and say, okay, what do I got to do today? I'm very strategic with my time, if that makes sense.
No, that's great. And just so our audience knows, your website is mikeharbor.net. That's Mike and then HARBOUR.net. So thanks for sharing that, Mike. Appreciate that.
Yes, sir.
So Mike, like you, I served in the military as well. I was in the other branch, the Marine Corps, but you served with honor in the United States Army. Thank you for your service. Tell us about a time where your leadership as an officer stood out with distinction on a decision or, you know, you had to make.
Yeah, man. I love that question. Thank you for your service as well. I give my Marine Corps buddies a hard time. As a matter of fact, I've got a real good friend from Alabama and he was doing a Facebook Live yesterday, and he had his Marine Corps sweatshirt on. And so I was kind of giving him a hard time about that. But I know the Marines are a little bit tougher than everybody else, right?
Well, we seem to think so, right?
That's right. But I love all branches of service. It's kind of interesting, Brian. My entire family were Navy guys. But I hate the water. I'm not really a water guy. I don't like to swim. And so I thought, man, I can run really good, but I'm not a good swimmer. So I'll take my chances on land. And that's really why I chose the Army. But, you know, I had the honor, Brian. I actually enlisted first in the military, and then I got a commission. So I was kind of the green to gold guy, right? And so I've served both enlisted and officer, which I think made me a better leader. It challenged me more because I could see things from both perspectives as well. But there were a couple times. Look, luckily for me, I never saw combat time. I have friends that did, and I was a medical service corps officer, and so I spent a lot of time in a medical field of the Army, and we did a lot of rehab of guys that did see combat time. But there are a couple things that really stick out for me that I remember that challenged me as a leader. Is one, I had a civilian that worked for me that had been misled. So in the military, especially on the healthcare side, you have both military people that work for you and civilians. Mm-hmm. And I took over, you know, these rehab services that I was leading, I had a civilian that had been part of the government services for a long time, but had been misled for a long time. And when I came in, you know, I'm one of these guys, I've set the bar pretty high for myself and for others. And I was challenged to lead this individual better. I was challenged to raise the bar for this individual. And I had to do that. And of course, you know, I was turned into the union rep for the government. It was a stressful time because, you know, I knew I was doing the right thing. And, you know, eventually, it all came out in the wash that I was doing the right thing, you know, and they eventually left me alone. And then there was another instance where I had another, you know, military leader that I had to confront because this person outranked me, but their behavior was unbecoming of what it should have been at that level of leadership. And in both of these instances, I got called up to the next level of leadership, right? I got called up and had to defend my position and, you know, defend what I was trying to accomplish as a leader, what I wanted to, you know, what I stood for as a leader. And I was right in both of those instances, and it came out on the other side okay for me, but both challenged me as a leader because I could have easily looked the other way and just let things go the way they were. But I feel, Brian, that as leaders, we're called to make things better, not leave things the way they are. And in both of those instances, I felt like I did that.
Yeah, and those are great examples, and I have some similar experiences as well. And you're right, you know, without leaders in this world, we'd be lost. And the people that have integrity will stand up and lead and do the right thing. So that's very good, and I'm glad you're sharing that today. So you meet with hundreds, maybe thousands of people per year. I don't know what you do, but I know you meet with a lot of people. What's the one thing that everybody, you know, what are they yearning for? They're asking you about, what do they want to learn from you?
Yeah. A fantastic question. And yeah, it's probably thousands of a year. I mean, I was in a room with just about 80 leaders yesterday. And I got an email last night, Brian, from one of the attendees in that training. And she shared with me that what I had taught about holding someone accountable on their team, she went and immediately applied, because that is the number one issue that I think leaders face, is how do we hold people accountable, right? How do we do that in a way that encourages them? How do we do that in a way that sets the bar high without it feeling like it's punishment? And I think that's something I'm real effective at. I'm really good at. I've worked on that for years because, I set the bar really high for myself. As I said earlier, I want to hold myself accountable. And I have to do that first as a leader. I've got to be accountable first to myself, to my values, to the way that I see leadership. But I've also, on my team, it's imperative that you as a leader, that we as leaders, hold everybody accountable on the team. We can't just hold one or two people accountable. If you've got a team of 10, it's everybody, because if I don't hold one accountable, I can't hold 10 accountable, right? And so that, I think, Brian, that's the number one thing every organization I go into is, how do we hold people accountable? How do we have those difficult conversations with people to move them from where they are to where we want them to go? And so it's around accountability and communication. I think those two go hand in hand, but that's the number one thing. I think everywhere I go, I have to teach people.
I had not really expected that answer, but that does make sense for sure. So Mike, in a wrap up, as you know, this is the Digi Exec or the Digital Executive Podcast. And so we try to limit this for busy executives like yourself on the go. Last question here really is, what advice would you give emerging younger leaders in this fast-paced world we live in?
Man, fantastic question. I love it, because I wish the advice I'm about to give now, I wish I would have learned earlier in my life, is number one, you got to find a few mentors in different areas of your life, Brian. I mean, I need a mentor for my marriage, maybe. I need a mentor for my finances. I need a mentor for communication. I need a mentor for working out. You know, whatever those areas are. One mentor, you know, mentors are kind of people that are experts in certain areas. So find mentors in different areas of your life that you want to develop and grow. And then the second thing is, take action on that advice and report back to your mentor how you did it. And guess what? They'll give you more. If they give you advice and you don't do anything with it, they don't want to keep mentoring you. So find the mentors, take their advice, take action on it, and then report back to them how you did it, and they'll give you more. The third thing is, read at least one book a month. Brian, I'm a voracious reader. I'm on pace to, right now, this will be my best year ever. I've always read 1 to 2 books a month, but I'm on a pace, you know, we're in February of 2020 right now as we record this. I'm on a pace to read 3 books a month right now this year. I'm about to finish my 6th book in the year of 2020. And it's because I got more intentional the way I did that. Yeah. About managing my time and when I read, how much I read. So read at least one book a month. You'll become an expert in that area of expertise that you want to be. It's like getting a master's degree without going to college, and you can read things that you want to read about. The fourth thing is, go to seminars that are going to help you grow, and don't wait on your company to send you. You know, a lot of people I work with, they say, if the company would pay for me to go to training, I could grow. No, you can grow. You just got to invest in yourself, right? Self-investment is the best investment that you can make, because it's going to help you develop skills that are going to give you a pay raise down the road if that's what you're looking for. So invest in yourself with seminars or a coach, you know, maybe get a coach. And then finally, the last thing I want to share, and this is super important, is stay physically, mentally, and spiritually fit. Whatever that is for you. I'm not saying you got to go to church to be spiritually fit. Maybe you're not a believer in that area, but you can stay spiritually fit by putting good things into your mind, right? And you need to go to the gym. You need to read good information. Turn off the news. Turn off social media from time to time. I mean, I use social media every day, but I'm strategic with it. I'm not on there reading things that are going to turn me against people, create biases against people. I use it to invest in people. So stay physically, mentally, and spiritually fit so that you can have a long life of adding value to others. That's my 5 tips for that question, Ron. Thanks for that.
That's awesome. Thank you. Everybody has their own, you know, piece of advice, tidbit or nugget, right? But yeah. That's most excellent. I appreciate that. So Mike, we're going to wrap it up here. It was a pleasure having you on the show today, and I look forward to speaking with you soon.
Yeah, Brian, thank you for inviting me in. I hope you found value in this, and I hope I can continue to add value to your listeners and readers on the DigiExec area that you're serving, and just keep doing what you're doing, man. Let me know how I can continue to serve you as well.
Absolutely. Thanks again, and we'll talk to you real soon.